Hello and welcome to the Pintcast. Joining me today is Jason Rubin. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonRubin91. It's a special Pintcast tonight. We are talking about something entirely different. It is a Major League Baseball playoff preview. It's exciting to have you, Jason. How are you?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me on the Pintcast. A longtime listener of the Pintcast. Joaquin, I've known you now for about a year.
Approximately.
And it's great to be reunited.
Yes, indeed.
It really is. In addition to that, it's great to be the influence in moving the Pintcast to a full-time Major League Baseball only podcast.
Baseball
I'm joking,
only.
Of course, but
yeah. Well, you know, there could be a groundswell movement to maybe make it a dual threat,
right?
So to speak. It could be. And look, it's been quite the exciting baseball season. Playoffs are now upon us. We are currently watching the Yankees in the process of losing to the Astros. Looks like that's going to...
Literally one out away from losing to
one
the
out
Astros.
Away. So we're going to get back to that. We're going to preview that in a few minutes once this is over so we can talk about how Houston
of course.
Destroyed this lame-ass Yankee team, which makes both the Met fan and the Dodger fan in the house happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, look, exciting stuff, all sorts of different storylines and action across the board. We're going to start with the American League. Let's talk about a few of the matchups that we do know.
Yes.
The Texas Rangers.
Got it. Nailed it.
Nailed it, right?
You're doing well.
The Texas Rangers have sealed their spot in the playoffs. They'll be facing the Blue Jays.
Yes. So you have the Blue Jays hosting a game at home for the first time since Joe Carter hit a walk-off home run in the World Series, which to point out one specific aspect of that, there is literally no better way to win a World Series. Like, Luis Gonzalez, like, 2001 walk-off hit. Again, to, you know, totally beat the Yankee fans with to a point of no return.
Yeah,
but, like, a walk-off hit is something special. And, if you remember the Angels back in the day, David Eckstein hitting walk-offs and David Ortiz. But a walk-off home run to win the World Series, to end the entirety of the MLB season. Something truly special about that. Granted, they play on AstroTurf, which every player, even the Toronto Blue Jays, hate. There's no one in their right mind can enjoy that.
No one who loves baseball wants to play on fucking AstroTurf.
But the Blue Jays do have a fan base. And granted, of the 60,000-ish that stadium holds, I'm actually exaggerating a little bit, 50,000 that stadium holds, the 50,000 that show up are not the only Blue Jay fans in Toronto. Like, there's probably going to be one bar that's not filled with Toronto Maple Leafs fans because hockey preseason is coming around the corner.
Very true. But look, to be fair to them, I've got a few friends up in Toronto, and they've most of them have embraced them, even though for them, because I know they're mostly through soccer, Twitter, and whatnot, are soccer fans primarily. But look, they embrace it for the team. I've seen them do it for the Raptors as well. You know, it seems like it's a pretty good town to have a professional franchise in. Like, it seems like they really gather themselves and get behind their local teams.
They definitely
regardless
do.
Of the sport, even if it's not that popular in their country.
Right. They definitely do, and there's something respectable about that because, I mean, there's some spiteful sports cities in this country, and including our friends to the north in Canada, that they won't get behind their team even if they're doing well, and they won't be able to sell. Example, if the Miami Marlins were a great baseball team this year, they wouldn't be able to sell out those playoff games, or they'd be trying to pull people in for free tickets like Jeff Loria, who's the owner, who's done it in the past.
Right. Well, we've seen that problem with Tampa Bay. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, granted, Tropicana's a shithole. You know, so, well, I haven't been, but so I hear.
No, I can attest. Absolutely.
All right. I'm glad we have confirmation.
Yes, we have absolute confirmation that Tropicana is, quote, a shithole. But, so the Rangers and the Blue Jays, it's not the most exciting series in the baseball playoffs for this year. And I don't want to immediately count the Rangers out because baseball is such a pitching playoff-oriented sport, but the Blue Jays happen to be the one exception to that rule. First of all rules are made to be broken. One great example, which we'll get to much later, is Clayton Kershaw being the most dominant pitcher we've seen in Major League Baseball, but has not yet being able to get into the playoffs.
You got to start on him already, huh?
I'll get there later because I truly believe he's going to dazzle this year. But the Blue Jays, in one ground statistic, have 120 home runs combined from the heart of their lineup, which hasn't been seen since the Colorado Rockies were boasting Galarraga, Larry Walker, Todd Helton, and taking advantage of the idea that in Colorado, Mile High Stadium, Coors Field to be specific, the air is thinner, which actually does carry the ball farther. This is in a dome in Toronto where the air is technically thicker, and it doesn't keep the ball suppressed. They are hitting home runs at an ungodly pace. They have what will most likely be the AL MVP in Josh Donaldson,
right?
Who can hit for much more than just power. He can hit for contact. He also has amazing plate discipline, in which every single Oakland Athletics fan right now is saying, huh, I wonder if we had a good third baseman, would have made us like 6 wins better.
Imagine.
Yeah, so
yeah, they fucked up.
It's hard to count out the Blue Jays when they're, I don't want to say guaranteed a first game win to already go on up on the series. David Price has been pitching lights out. He's an every other year pitcher like the Giants and every year World Series team. But that trade at the deadline was truly remarkable. It took a rotation that was going to get dominated in the playoffs, regardless of how unbelievable their hitting was, and turned it into, well, now we have a game one and game technically 4, if you want 5, if needed, starter.
Sure.
In which you can never guarantee wins in the playoffs when it comes to pitching, but I'm going to lean with that lineup, David Price on the hill in Toronto as, look, they're going to win game one.
Well, look, we've seen that's a recipe for success. Because,
yes.
Look, Bumgarner has won 2 mm-hmm. or, say, 3 games. He was even 3 games in the World Series?
Last year, he pitched 2.5 games.
2.5
games.
And
he didn't get the win for the game 7. But when you look at it, 2.5 of the 4 wins, he made up for more than 50% of the reason that the Giants won the World Series last year.
Exactly. And he had 2 wins in every other series as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes to show of what they can do,
right,
and how influential they are in actually really making, you know, this happen in the postseason. So you look at this, all right? The Blue Jays, look, they've scored almost 900 runs, which is now 127 more runs than
that,
the next
that real
offense.
Quick.
They scored almost 900 fucking runs.
It's inconceivable amount of runs.
127 more than the next offense in the Major League Baseball. Absolutely dominant. And now they have guys, you know, you look at the second half numbers, leaders in ERA and whatnot. You got guys like David Price, who was 9-1 mm-hmm. during his time there. You know, it could have been, I think he came out beating the Yankees up, you know, 1-0 or something,
yes,
in 8 innings.
He
could have been 10-1 since he was there. They got Marco Estrada behind him. They got R.A. Mm-hmm. Dickey, who are all playing well. You know, now there's a rotation. And they have
right.
the best lineup in Major League Baseball as it stands. I mean,
yes,
and look at the power. You talked about it from top to bottom. And you got
right,
these guys.
So,
look at the heart of that lineup. And who could fuck with that?
That's what I find so interesting about the Blue Jays in general. So when you take the heart of the lineup out, they actually still have a lineup that could technically, with the pitching they have, advance. So let's have fun for a second.
Sure.
Let's say Bautista and Donaldson don't exist in this lineup. Guess what? They're still scoring about 27 more runs than the best in the Major League Baseball. Edwin Encarnacion has been a staple to the power-hitting Blue Jays lineup since 2012, and he's damn good at it. He gets low like Knobloch, and I know that's a reference you love.
Oh, yeah.
But the interesting thing is signing guys like Ben Revere to lead off, who is doing terrible on the Phillies, but it's always that, change of scenery.
Hey,
I'll start hitting again. Troy Tulowitzki is their fifth guy. And of course, I don't want to bash Chulo because, as a fantasy baseball player for a long time, baseball betting player for a long time, Tulowitzki is the type of guy who, over 162 game season, is an MVP candidate every single year. Chulo never plays 162 games, and he never will. And of course, him getting traded to the Blue Jays made me even kind of chuckle. It's like, oh, AstroTurf, that's going to do a great, an amazing
just
thing.
Just what
shortstop.
He needs, right?
Exactly what he needs. No, but he's back, and that's all that matters, is they made the playoffs, they have 127 more runs, as a really great statistic that you found, as in pointed out before, that like with him back in the lineup, it's such a scary 4 guys in a row. And then, of course, I like to point out that Kevin Pillar is their 9th hitter, but is also one of the better fielding center fielders in the game, a very tough position to play. Not a gold glove winning center fielder. He won't because of, unfortunately, doesn't have the defensive run saves as others, the entire Royals outfield to be specific, but is going to make plays, is going to save certain runs. And that's not a team that's necessarily great defensively and with defensive analytics, which could get a little boring, but in terms of them getting more important to baseball, you want someone like Kevin Pillar. The fact that he's your 9th guy and he's batting around 250, it's not even that bad.
Yeah.
there are teams in the
numbers.
Playoffs
if he's
right
the
now.
Worst guy, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Okay. But So in terms of the Blue Jays, like the other stat that I have down, the other thing I find important is their second half dominance. Estrada and Dickey's their third and fourth guy. You have a righty. I mean, they're all right-handed except for Price, but it's important that your first guy's left-handed. Absolutely. It totally changes your structure of your lineup when you have to face a former Cy Young winner in game one who throws as a southpaw. This is what people like Kershaw call such problems for series in MLB baseball in general.
Absolutely.
Estrada and Dickey have a sub-3.0 ERA in the second half. If they continue anything like that, the Blue Jays are going to be a force. You can't call anything a lock, but if you were to call it a lock, you're insane not to take the Blue Jays over the Rangers.
Yeah, you'd probably say that this is, of all the series, I mean, just because, and this is nothing against the Rangers. It's all credit to Toronto because they've played so well and they've been that dominant. You have to take them. All right, so look, I'm going to take, I mean, what's your pick for the series? You're gonna take them. How many games?
I hate calling sweeps because the idea is it's very hard to sweep a team in baseball, and it happens more often than not. Like again, I'll use the example from 2014. Is not many people were sitting there going, "Yeah, the Royals are gonna sweep the Angels." Actually, most pundits, about 75%, had the Angels winning the series. Those who had the Royals winning had them winning in five. They swept, right? Not many people saw that coming. And then as the Royals started showing who they really were, smart management, it became more of a, okay, it's not that surprising that they swept. Hindsight is 20/20.
Sure, of course.
The Rangers do boast a few players that could be key. Hamels is not to be messed with. Cole Hamels was a great pickup at the deadline. He's only been stunning for the Rangers since he came aboard. And again, interestingly enough, a lefty. Who's right. going to be on the hill for the first one, followed by multiple righties. And if they do get into the deep part of their rotation, it goes Gallardo, then Colby Lewis. You can't bank on Gallardo. You can't bank on Colby Lewis. But Derek Holland is not somebody that you necessarily want to test in late series situations, again,
sure.
for. Especially with, you know, Dickey and Estrada, whose first half were not so good. But again, what they've been doing recently, that's all we can base this off of is what has happened over the past 8 to 12 weeks.
Yeah, really. Because form matters a lot. And you want your pitchers mm-hmm. to be hot coming into the playoffs. You know, you got guys like, I mean, we're going to get to it. But I mean, there's some guys who've been really hot towards the end of the season.
Right.
Where, it, you know, the overall stats mean a lot in general. Mm-hmm. But, and that's what usually get your contracts get based on and whatnot. But, you know, if you're throwing well lately, what have you done for me, you know, in recent times?
Absolutely.
It matters so much to be hot going into the playoffs. Because, if your arm's not feeling the same way, you know, shit changes. There's a lot of fatigue and little injuries and, you know, niggling type things that happen over the season.
Well, I mean, what's so interesting, too, is with the Astros and the Yankees, which obviously the Astros just won. Hooray for
yep.
the Astros.
Hooray.
Dallas Keuchel pitched, proving that, you know, a few things. One, he pitched 232 innings during the season.
Yeah.
So, is he tired? Obviously not. Like, is his arm burning out? I don't think so. I think he pitched pretty damn well in Yankee Stadium, which, as I always joke, 8-year-olds can hit home runs out of the park because it's only about, what, 227? 237?
Pretty sure. I probably could have
almost right field.
Out in, like, Little League.
It's a little more than that, but in general, obviously, right field is not a place that it's hard to hit a home run out of, notoriously known as the Bronx Bombers. We can go through that history if we need to. But more importantly, the three starting your ace on 3 games rest, 3 days rest, historically does not work. But this is such a point to where baseball's history is arbitrary to what's happening now.
Absolutely.
Pitchers on 3 days rest of 78 qualifying aces, number ones in a rotation since 1995, 31-47, 4.6 ERA on 3 days rest. Keuchel, 6 1/3 innings pitched, zero earned runs. I don't know how many he struck out, but he was dominant.
Yeah.
So
he had a few strikeouts, that's for sure. They might have played in the highlights.
I guess,
you know, all the numbers are.
Out of 79 qualifying pitchers since 1995, 32-47.
Right.
And adjust, maybe
adjust that statistic.
4.57.
Yeah, let's give him a little bit of credit.
So he's helping the average.
Absolutely. So he's done a bit for that. I mean, the thing is that you come down to these teams and you go to a situation like this where you have Keuchel, who's, you know, your ace by far, you mm-hmm. know, a guy who some people are considering a favorite for the Cy Young in the
absolutely,
AL.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's the same situation. You know, I'm a Dodger fan. You have a guy like Kershaw. If he's available, you throw mm-hmm. him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Greinke, you throw him. It's when it all comes down to it, who do you want on the hill? And if he's good to go, and he says he's good, you have to ride with your with your captain in that kind of sense. You got to ride your stud in that sense and just be ready to go.
And what's so funny too is a lot of people don't understand that it comes down to your skipper's decision. It's up to him. But trust me, Dallas Keuchel is screaming at him, "I want the ball. I want to take the hill. I've done this all year long. This is my game to win." It's not like Keuchel and Kershaw and Price are saying, "You know what? I think our number five deserves a shot at winning this game." No, they're confident. Obviously, they're number one in the rotation for a reason, and you have to put it in his hands. If the other side of things, if Keuchel got lit up by the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, you can't hold it against him.
No.
I never would. I would never say, "Oh, he's not the AL Cy Young favorite because he got lit up in a stadium again that allows home runs against a team with Carlos Beltran."
Look, if you're a manager in Major League Baseball and you have an ace, you want the mentality to be that he wants to go out there and take the ball.
Right.
You know, there was obviously a little bust up between Kershaw and Mattingly in the dugout the other day. But, you know, really it was just the fact that they're both doing their jobs, right?
Right, Mattingly, absolutely.
Even though I don't think Mattingly's a great manager per se, but we'll get to that.
Of course.
you know, he's doing his job by protecting his ace pitcher, but Kershaw's out there and it's, the fourth inning and he doesn't want to be pulled out. You know, because he's a competitor. He's a gamer. He's like, "Fuck that. Like, this is my game and I'm pitching. You don't pull me out.
Right, exactly.
But that's the mentality you want. They both have their reasons for it. You know, they both feel that way, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's a right kind of argument. You want them both to be fighting on both those sides. I mean, granted, the manager has to do what's best for the team in those situations.
Right.
But that's what you want from these guys. You know, you want a guy who's not going to shirk from the opportunity, not going to shirk from the pressure. You know, you got a guy, regardless of sport, you get a guy taking a penalty kick in soccer. Like,
absolutely.
You want the guy who doesn't want to take it. You want a guy who's a closer. Like, you know, pitching is so mental.
Absolutely.
You know, because 100%. You could be pitching so fantastically and one little thing can happen and you can be shook.
Absolutely.
And I've been there. I've been there. Like, you know when you lose it and all of a sudden you lose it. Like, it's really hard. It's nearly impossible to get it back.
And, what's so interesting about it, too, is even in Tanaka's case, who pitched for the Yankees, and you look at that and you go, two misplaced pitches. It's like you look back on this game through a statistic standpoint, through like what people are going to remember box score wise. Tanaka pitched fantastically. The lineup wasn't there, which kind of relates back to the point that if David Price, Stroman, Estrada, or Dickey pitch anything like that, you're telling me that over the course of a 5-game series, Revere, Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulo, Pilar aren't going to drive in a few runs to save your ass? Like, that to me is the scariest part, is that if their pitching is anything good, anything close, 3 earned runs or less, you're going to win games 4-3.
This is the podcast. We always give predictions. How many games?
I got to say, I'm going to give the Rangers one game at home. That's it. I can see someone like Holland coming out in down 2-0, down 2-1 maybe. And I should have said it was 2-1. I'm saying, I'll be very clear, 3-1 Blue Jays, and it's there, and the Blue Jays will take it in Texas. Like, the Rangers might get one back, but the Blue Jays will finish the series.
They might have that heroic stand at game 3.
Yeah, something I can just, like, technically Colby Lewis is going third. I think they'll actually move Holland up because he is a lefty, and they're going to want that against the Blue Jays lineup at some point twice if they can. It just depends. If it's 1-1, you throw Colby Lewis, your righty. If it's if they're up 2-0 in the series, you have no choice. You got to throw Holland.
Yep. That's what you got to do. Well, look, it's going to be really boring on this one because I agree with you completely. And I see it the same way. Actually, just for the sake of being different, I'm going to go with the sweep because I really feel like they're certainly capable of it. So let's go with the Toronto sweep.
Yeah. That's also a good call.
You know, they're going to go for it. They're going to get it done. I've got faith in them. I'm with you. This is the easiest series to pick so far.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to go with that, go with the Blue Jays.
Absolutely.
Let's move on. So now that the other American League matchup is set up, we have the Royals taking on the Astros.
Right. That's it is finished. I keep looking at this slash of Yankees, but we're in playoff baseball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Yankees are out.
no slash. Sorry, Yanks. Get the fuck out. We're moving on. The issue here, I mean, we have the Royals who, had quite, they're always a team that kind of flies under the radar, but they had that big season last year.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking wish they had beat those sorry-ass goddamn Giants last year.
So did I.
It's not really doing well for 100%. Me with all my friends from the Bay. But what are your thoughts on the Royals this season?
So I want to touch on one thing about the Giants from last year, and that was I always reiterate this, is a close friend of mine from back home, right after the Giants won the National League Division Series, went into the NLCS. He texted me just to get ready for the Giants to win the World Series. And I was like, ah, damn it, you're right. there is no other way to put it. And that's when I started putting my money in the Giants, because it's funny with them because you simply know. I know you do, but that's okay. We can still be friends.
That's true.
But you can understand that when you see certain runs happening, and you're going to see it with the NLDS or the ALDS, one of these teams you're going to see no, there's no stopping them. They're going to go to the World Series, and it might be close. The Royals, interestingly enough, we will know within 2 to 3 innings of the first game against the Astros whether or not the Royals will be back in the World Series or not.
That quickly.
And it comes down so much to Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto was picked up at a steep price, a steep trade at the deadline, and they lost out on a lot of good farm system prospects for him. Now, Cueto at one point, 2014, the first 10 starts, he threw 9 innings complete game, 8.2 innings, 9 innings, 8.1, 8.0, and looked like there was no stopping what is known as Predator from striking out every single batter in the history of baseball. It just seemed like there was no stopping. And then that was a first-half thing, and then all of a sudden the second half he started to come back to earth, still posted a decent 3.2, 3.3 ERA. Fast forward, Cincinnati Reds are in shambles.
Dumpster fire.
I can't even begin to think of the amount of adjectives that describes what the hell happened to the Cincinnati Reds, except for the fact that Joey Votto has led in every single category since August 1st. Every hitting category. I'm pretty sure every pitching category might be close to it. Joey Votto's been that impressive for the Reds. But Cueto goes. You have Cueto, Volquez, Ventura, and Medlin. Again, I'm so biased towards teams that have diversity within their handiness when it comes to starting pitching. So you have 4 right-handed pitchers going for every single game. And your bullpen, strong-ish, not strong enough. There is 2 numbers that help in the Royals' side. One, the Royals do not strike out. 15.9% K percentage, which is less about 10% less than every other team in the league.
Yeah, that's a wonderful number.
They don't strike out. So the fact of the matter is, if you cannot keep up defensively with them, they're going to score runs on you. And that's how they got to the World Series last year, was by putting the ball in play as much as humanly possible and defensively saving runs. When you had Jarrett Dyson and Lorenzo Cain combining for an insane amount of defensive runs saved. In addition to that, they brought on guys like Zobrist and Morales. And of course, I do love Jared Dyson as a bench guy. To me, that's somebody who can come on. He can run. He can pinch hit. He can hit for contact. He can play the outfield if you need to do a double switch. It's those type of role players under Ned Yost, who's obviously one of the more intelligent managers in baseball. Although I've always heard, and I started to believe this later in watching baseball than when I was growing up. But managers make, and I can't show it because we're on audio, but 6 inches of difference when it comes to it. But that 6 inches is the difference between a 1-run ball game and a 10-run ball game. It's a crazy scope that you're talking about. And guys like Mike Matheny of the Cardinals are an okay manager. Guys like Ned Yost are great managers who win games. So the Royals have so much going for them, maybe too much pressure because of last year.
Well, look, it's going to adjust the expectations. You know, you have a team that makes that run, and you go into the World Series as hot as they were.
Yeah.
I mean, but they ran into Madison Bumgarner, who,
stopped him full force.
We'll get that later. I basically could have stopped anything at that point. Stop him today. You could probably take him off his ranch in Texas, wherever he is now, where he just flew to, and just pull him out right now. And
right.
He'll shut down any of these lineups, most likely. Fucking bastard.
It's been 340 days.
It hurts. He's great. No, but I have a family of Giants fans.
Oh,
Immediate, but not that immediate. You know, grandparents, all the uncles and all the cousins.
Right. So
they're all from Palo Alto area. So
you have to hear them out.
I have to hear them. I have an uncle who every time I see him, especially every single summer or whatever holiday gathering there has been after each one of these championships, wears a World Series champion San Francisco Giants type jacket or something.
Yeah, family is totally not. Like, once you mix family and sports, it just gets unfair because you can't say things. You have to. I mean, look, I respect my elders. I think you do, too. But it's a tough position to be in.
I mean, well, look, my grandfather supported the fucking Brooklyn Dodgers when he was in New York, you know, but then he moved back to San Francisco and the Giants moved there. So there you go.
No, that's true. That's a fair enough reason.
So, you know, and they actually moved the same year as the Giants moved.
Yeah, they did. That's where the Mets get it. We get the colors from the Dodgers and the Giants.
Exactly.
So.
Which is smart. It worked out, you know, it just hasn't really. You've taken the bad luck from both in the most part.
For the past 100% true.
For the past 30 years, approximately.
That's
29 maybe to be exact.
I mean, about 5 years longer than I've been alive. So
shit. Well, I was born. Not that I remembered. I was born when that one happened. But,
okay. Well, so you were alive for it.
I was alive. I was alive the last time the Mets.
I'm envious. I'm very envious.
Yeah.
Very envious. But we're picking up for we were at the Royals. Yes. We were at the Royals versus. The Astros, and it's not fair to count out the Astros. They just won a very tough one-game playoff. Again, something I don't agree with. I think you're in agreement, too.
Yeah, it's a curious situation, but you know, it's interesting how we go here because you're in this position where you have a team coming off this. And look, Houston looked pretty good today. Mm-hmm. You know, they won, but guess what? What would you want? What's the only thing that could give Houston an edge in this? If your Cy Young pitcher could throw two games?
Yeah. Yeah, and now you're in a very tough situation.
He was on short rest.
Mm-hmm. Already on short rest. Yeah.
Are you gonna put him on short rest again? Are you gonna? I mean, basically, you gotta ride with him just pitching one game for you, right?
Right. So the thing with the Astros moving forward is A, their young talent looked cool, calm, and composed, and again, a very tough Yankee Stadium to play. I mean, there was the double play ball we saw with Correa. Truly. For guys that are 22, 23 years old and their first time ever playing in the playoffs, like that is not something that is just easily done. And to have the balls, the confidence to grab a barehanded double play and almost – they didn't get him. They didn't turn the second. But they made the throw. It was still a good throw. It's those little things, those little infield adjustments that make a huge difference. It just oppresses the opposing team from even getting on base, from advancing runners, and that's so important. So – Keuchel might win the Cy Young, but McHugh, Kazmir, and Fears aren't winning the Cy Young.
Right.
They're not bad, but they are so capable of getting blown up. Their 3.57 team ERA is not strong enough to compete with a Royals team who's going to small ball you to death.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make comparisons to other sports. If it were the New England Patriots, it's the 7 yards or less offense. If it were Chelsea football in 2014... I think you'll appreciate it. It will be 1-0 victories because their defense is so stonewall strong.
Fuck
like
Chelsea.
That is how the Royals are going to win baseball games, by getting a man on first, stealing second, bunting to third, sack flying to get him in two or three times a game and winning 3-1, 4-2, because they're going to punch you out to second if you try to get there. They're going to throw balls to home and punch you out to third if you're Jared Dyson, again, from the bench. I mean, if you're Lorenzo Cain, who's such a good outfielder in baseball, it's really it's unfair to even consider him not one of the best because he can't hit from the plate like a lot of other outfielders can. I mean, it's just defensively, he's so amazing.
Well, that's what's tough, though. I mean, really, when it comes to when you get to the big leagues – look, he is such a valuable asset regardless that he makes that difference. But, I mean, really, and when it comes to, you know, you look at the kind of hitters and people
you got to hit the home runs. You got to hit the RBIs.
You got to have everything. You
got to have a slugging percentage through the
Well, I mean, the thing is, and you look at the new generation, right? The new generation of superstar. And you got guys. You got the Mike Trouts.
Yes.
You got a guy like the Bryce Harpers. I mean, 5 years ago, it was Matt Kemp was supposed to be that kind of guy for the Dodgers, you know?
Because
if you got a guy who's built who could be – the frame of like a linebacker, but has the pace to be a five-tool guy in center field. Like, you need that guy to turn into the everything.
Yeah,
which you know, and that's what's expected of a center field, of an all-star center fielder these days. You know, that's an adjustment, but that's what we see, and that's what we expect from these new star players. But look, you have these lineups. I mean, I think it's relatively. Well, I mean, I don't know if I would call it even. Like you said, I mean, the rest of the rotation for
both teams.
Well, true. But I mean, if you could promise that Keuchel could pitch two games, that would sway a large way. You would influence it.
Absolutely.
Influence this series. So based on that alone, I mean, I'm going to say that the Royals win the series, which I think is probably what you're going to say as well. I'm going to say it's going to go five games, though.
Yeah, no.
This feels going to be a back and forth.
I wish I disagreed for the sake of fun. But I do. I have it in five games. But what's so interesting about those five games is it's not going to seem like the Royals needed five games to win it. It's going to seem like the Royals won it effortlessly in five games. Does that make any sense? Like, in the way of, like the games the Royals lose won't be by much, but the ones they win are going to be devastating for the Astros.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, the edge they get with their manager is something I wish we had. Look, honestly, if I felt we had a managerial edge – the Dodgers, I'd say we'd win the fucking World Series.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get to Diamond because it's such an interesting topic. Because I don't think he's the worst.
I don't think so either.
But that's the thing is like, but nobody's ever saying, "Oh, I wish I had Don Mattingly."
I would have kicked him out of the fucking town if I could have had Joe Maddon this summer.
Oh, without a doubt, I would. I mean, if you're look if you're the Yankees with Joe Torre in his later years. Kicked him out for Joe Maddon, too.
Maybe so.
No doubt in my mind. In 2002? Pfft, absolutely. Yeah. Give me Joe Maddon. But yeah, so I have the Royals 3-2 in that series.
So there you go. You're pretty concise, and we're basically in agreement about these two series. So
yeah,
we have the Royals winning four or five games. We both predicted five games. We see Toronto winning in four or three.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of runs scored. If you're a betting man, take the over in every single game between the Blue Jays and the Rangers, unless it's something ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, unless it's something ridiculous.
All right, well, let's move to the National League. We have a playing game tomorrow, so we can talk a little bit about that. The Pirates.
And the Cubs.
It's a tough one, man. Look, I like the Pirates, and I think they're a better team, but Jake Arrieta's been lights motherfucking out. I mean, can you pick against him in this sort of game?
Impossible. And look, it's so unfair because you're selling Garrett Cole short, right?
Yeah, it's kind
Garrett
of Cole is a great quality pitcher.
Absolutely competent enough to win a one-game playoff, but not competent. And at home, but nobody's competent enough right now to take on Jake Arrieta, who's let up two runs in his last 12 starts. I mean, this is a guy, a .44 ERA in the second half of baseball. And it's not even so much that the numbers side with him. When you watch him, he is not missing a single location on his pitches. They're getting framed up, and he is putting them on such – he's painting corners. He's allowing certain balls if he does get late in the count. If he gets to a point where it's 2-2, 3-2, he's accepting of the fact that he has to let something ride over a little bit of plate, but he's confident enough that if it rides over a little bit of the plate that it could be put in play. It is the only person I can make a comparison with is that Greg Maddux was the only madman, mad dog in himself,
indeed,
that would allow that to happen knowing that, no, I have enough on this ball that if they make contact, it's going to my shortstop. And that is a confidence that can't be taken lightly. Again, Garrett Cole, can't sell him short. In a one-game playoff, though, anything can happen. And the reason why I hate the one-game playoff is one specific reason. The Braves got screwed. Chipper Jones got screwed. That was not an infield fly.
It was a
pop-up plus 20 feet. Like, and that's what I'll always bring up in that when that the first every year, the one-game playoff. But Joaquin, could you make like, for the Pirates, it's in Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh, that's going to sway largest for me. There's that. Look, I believe in Garrett Cole. You know, UCLA product.
Yeah.
Go Bruins.
That's a great point.
Local guy.
Hometown hero.
He's from Newport. He killed it here at UCLA, so he was on my radar when he was at UCLA in that sense. You know, he's gone there. He's got dominant stuff. He's got, you know, look, he's not pitching like Arrieta, but they're at home. Shit happens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Things just go... I don't really know why. I don't have logic behind this pick in that sense because it's really tough to pick against Arrieta considering his fucking record.
Of course.
It's insane. You know, he's having given up in 9 out of 12 or something crazy, 10 out of 12, something crazy
right,
like 10 that.
10 out of 12, it's stupid.
You know,
it's...
no run, giving up no runs in all those starts and getting almost all those wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane, you know. It's insane the fact that he has had such a resurgence, or not a resurgence, but an upsurgence, so to speak.
No, it's a combination. You're right, because it's a re-upsurgence. It's somebody who, in the first half of baseball, people were like, he's doing what he's supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, he goes Super Saiyan.
which is beautiful. I mean, except for the fact that I feel like he might steal a Cy Young from Los Angeles, which I'm not very happy about.
I think you're okay.
The rest of it.
I think you're okay from the Cy Young being stolen from him. But I think from the Los Angeles perspective, to touch on that really quickly, is that it's more important now, awards aside, Kershaw's won enough Cy Youngs for you guys. It's more important to just make it to the World Series. Like, if giving the Cy Young award up meant that the Dodgers make the World Series,
hey,
I think you'd
I'll
be
trade
okay
that
with
all
that.
Fucking
right.
Day.
As you should, because the title means so much more.
As they would both say to you as well, Greinke and Kershaw,
they're
would
selfless
say
guys. Greinke might be a little crazy. Like, actually, he's insane.
Well, he is, but that's
but
a
I
benefit.
Like that about him.
But dude, I mean, look, Greinke should be left-handed. Just put it out there, because fucking weird, crazy pitchers are, you know, like, it's always the weird lefty. You got the weird lefty on your team.
It's the best thing
even in my Sunday league ball team here in LA, I have the quirky lefty that says shit out of left field and just looks at you like with a blank stare, and you're just like, what the
what
fuck
are you
is
saying?
Baines, what are you saying?
There's two outs, man. There's two outs.
Jokes that make no sense. The team doesn't laugh. It's just the lefties are fucking weird.
They're out of their
Greinke
mind.
Greinke should
be a lefty.
Imagine if he threw lefty. He'd probably throw like 105. he must be lefty inherently.
He'd throw
92 with his right, 94.
I mean, what about like the ambidextrous esque? Greinke should be ambidextrous.
We have a couple.
The Oakland A's brought one up this year, which is...
So the Yankees, right?
And the Yankees brought up one too, but he did not last. He lasted about an inning, and then he was sent right back down. The case for the Pirates, McCutchen batting third, Ramirez batting fourth, Walker, and then Alvarez. It's not so much a heart of the lineup. It's just a really big pain in the ass. Like,
totally.
The only way to put it with the Pirates is that, let's not sell McCutchen short, an NL MVP, a phenomenal. If there was more than five tools to baseball, a more than five tool player in the game.
Right.
But Aramis Ramirez, Neil Walker, and Pedro Alvarez can both go for all three. I shouldn't say both. I said all three can go from hitting for straight power and also being smart enough to know who they're facing to just get the ball in play, which again.
Well, the smart professional hitters.
Right. It's just, to me, it's like that. And that's four guys. That's making up a bulk of your team. I'm counting out Gregory Polanco, who's their leadoff guy, because Polanco was at one point last season like, oh my god, he's going to be rookie of the year this year, and then his average goes to I don't know where, like it went to single A status. He gets demoted back to triple A, gets demoted down to double A, works his way back up, and all of a sudden, within like a week, he's back in the majors in 2015. I don't think Polanco's somebody that you technically want leading off, but when you have when it comes to the Pirates, you don't want to be in a situation where every time McCutchen and Ramirez comes to the plate, there's no one on base. And in the one-game playoff, you need – I mean, if Polanco has a 2-for-4 game, there's a really good chance that they're going to score some runs in Arrieta. But my other feeling is that Arrieta is going to have no problem handling Gregory Polanco and no problem handling Starlin Marte.
He's on regular rest, right?
Yeah, Arrieta's been – I think he's got more. He might be on a 6 or 7 day rest. He's probably, you know, comfortable, relaxed. But again, as you pointed out, it's really hard in a one-game playoff to take a team on the road, even though we just saw the Astros win on the road. That was a weird Yankee team. This is a much closer playoff.
I mean, yeah, the big thing for me, I mean, look, here's the thing. Is that, like, you know, they're not going to tee off on Arrieta. That's not going to happen.
Not
it hasn't happened.
Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be a tight game. I have faith enough in Gerrit Cole that it's going to be, you know, he's going to hold him to one run.
Yeah,
over the first six innings,
yeah.
And then anything can happen, because we've seen, right? We just watched Tanaka get two bad pitches, two swings of the bat, two home runs.
Yeah,
and that's enough.
It's so unfair.
And
it cost them the game.
And if that's enough, if two Arrieta pitches get out of the zone, Garrett holds them to one run, then it goes to the bullpens, and you got to deal with that, and then you have the home team advantage. So that taken in consideration, I'm going to go slightly against the grain and go with Pittsburgh winning.
I like that
call. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Pittsburgh. It's going to be a low-scoring game because you're just not going to score against Arrieta.
No, it's not going to take the under, absolutely.
You know, so if you're lucky, you get two on Arrieta.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just somewhat lucky, maybe you get one on Arrieta and you get one off the bullpen at the very end of the game. But that's where I'm going. How do you feel?
I have to take the Cubs because I'm speaking for the part of America that knows – we want to see technically we want to see either of these teams beat the shit out of the Cardinals.
Please, anybody.
And like I can say
ABC,
but
the Cardinals.
Anything but the Cardinals. Anybody but the Cardinals.
Let them get off their high fucking horse about how to play baseball. Let's not even get started on that shit.
This is only a seven, by the way. It's like, to me, it's always the most amazing thing. Seven of the last 13 NLCS, the Cardinals have been in the NLCS. That's not... If you're not doing any good to the balance of baseball, you're fucking high hoy. You just put it... This is not 17th century
I'm sorry, my friends, but nothing good comes out of Missouri.
That's okay. Well, okay.
I'll go there.
Technically, Kansas City plays.
They're in Missouri. And look what they did. Look what they did when they faced the fucking Giants.
I have no bias towards Mizzou, the college football, college basketball teams. No, I agree. Maybe barbecue.
I could do a little KC
barbecue.
There might
be some good KC barbecue that we're missing out on.
I kind of like Texan barbecue. I don't know if I'd rate, you know, Missouri barbecue.
But I also agree with the fact that if we were to give up everything Missouri, we'd probably be able to move on with our lives.
We can move on. There's enough good barbecue outside of Missouri that we would survive. I mean, look, as a kid, I love those KC Masterpiece barbecue chips by Lay's. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
That's like
nostalgia. Whenever I eat those, it feels like childhood. I'm like,
but
oh
you can
God.
Give them up. There's other strong potato chips.
There's other strong barbecue potato chips.
That's very true.
Why don't you do a whole other podcast on it?
I can't do spice, which is embarrassing because most grown men can deal
with spice. I've been to a Mexican restaurant with you. Yes, I've seen. I was like, oh, hey, you want some salsa? I'm like, no, bro.
No, please.
Was that, where's the mild stuff?
And then like immediate frown and kind of shrink and put shoulders down and just.
Is there pico de gallo? It's gallo, bro. You're in California now.
Pico de Joey Gallo of the Rangers. Oh, man.
All right, so peppercini flavored chips. These things exist.
So the peppercini is the perfect spice level for those like me who can proudly admit are spice pussies. That's what
spice
I am.
Pussy.
I don't like sriracha. I don't get what the whole deal with sriracha is anyway, but like, I don't like a fan of sriracha. But I understand that a kick in spice, like a kick in food, is a great addition.
It is.
But for me, it has to be a strong and immediate fade, and that is the peppercini potato chip. The peppercini potato chip can be found at almost any supermarket. They're super underrated. Everyone always goes straight for the jalapeno. Are you going to give me a... What are you eating? Is that a ghost chili pepper?
Not ghost.
What were you raised on?
I'm Mexican.
You know
what
I was
going to
say. So it's not ghost chili.
No, it isn't ghost. These are like Hidalgo tree peppers.
Ah. Well, a great movie. A good movie. Good enough movie. Entertaining movie. There's no amount of money, no way you can get me to try that right now without crying into the podcast. We'd go to the National League and I'd be in tears.
Well, we're already in the National League. You've forgotten already.
That's a good point. We're in the National League.
It's because the pint cast beers. They keep refilling. He walks away. I refill his beer.
There's a lethal component to the pint cast. And that becomes the more...
Hopefully not lethal, just, you know, crippling.
A verbally lethal part to the podcast. It would be great if there were... I still can't believe you're eating those. I'm going to be 100% honest.
It's pretty fucking hot.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
But you love it. You're not tearing and you're not sweating.
As soon as it, like, makes my head start tingling, once I start sweating, I'll really enjoy it.
See, to those listening,
right?
Like...
Luis? Here. Talking to my sound engineer, Luis. I'm going to have one of these. He's going to go have a little nibble.
Luis, are you a...
No? Come on, man.
Luis, how do you feel about the peppercini?
I don't know, man. I don't do too much pepper.
Wow.
Man.
No love for the peppercini.
He's not Mexican, so it's okay.
But he's honest.
Peruvians apparently don't handle as much.
But I like Luis. Luis is an honest man. That's a very important part. That's a very important thing. Is any kind of podcast. The honesty is appreciated.
So just a heads up, I might be drinking more beer now because my mouth is starting to sing. But that's okay.
You need to get fired up for when we get to the Dodgers because that's an important aspect of
this. It is. I'm getting fired. You're getting fired for my Latin base.
It's very true. Very, very true. So we digress. We digress with
we
the
did
peppercini
digress.
Chips,
so you think that the Cubs are going to handle this?
I want the Cubs to handle it. It's funny because I've been doing sports betting. I've been doing at a way too young age in general. I don't advocate for it. It's just something that I do. And I've been told by many friends in the past, because I'll get like a few text messages before every football game's action, Sunday game's action. Of course, when we get to the MLB playoffs, NBA. You know, who do I take tonight with the spread? Who do I take? Who do you feel? Who do you like? Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Well, because just because I'm dumb enough to be putting my finances on this and my brain on this doesn't mean you should be dumb enough to do it. But I want the Cubs to win. I think Arrieta is good enough, obviously, as what he's proven. I do think the Pirates will put a huge rain on the parade. But for fun, Joaquin, we haven't disagreed this entire podcast. I'm taking the Cubbies. Got to take the Cubbies.
That's great. Well, look, I think common sense says the Cubbies. Today, and for this matchup specifically, I'm not going with my head. I'm going with my heart. It tells me Gerrit Cole. It tells me the Pirates at home.
It's a good call.
Well, fuck, dude. They're going against Arrieta, who's been untouchable. It's not a good call.
I know.
It's a gut call. It's a gut call, not a head call.
And that's important because the gut call is sometimes more important than the head call because, again, Gerrit, we're going to lean back on this one a lot. By the way, we haven't even mentioned the fact that Joakim Soria is out of the bullpen. Bastardo's out of the bullpen. Let's just say Gerrit Cole gives up two or three runs, which is very easily possible, sure. Which is also not a bad night in Pittsburgh if he goes seven innings. I don't think the Cubs are going to touch Soria or Melancon. I don't think they're going to be able to hit their bullpen. The other way around is that I think the Pirates could hit the Cubs' bullpen. So this all comes down, in my opinion, to Arrieta. If he throws eight innings of lights-out baseball, Cubs will win. Well, anything short, your Pirates are going to they're gonna move forward.
Well, you know, there's also, like, you were talking about something before we were recording this, while we're watching these games. It's about pitch count, too. I mean,
yeah. How
well can the Pirates, you know, run go deep into the pitch counts to make something happen? the Pirate. Am I turning red from the chili peppers or what? Apparently, I'm getting red. it's pretty hot right now, not going to lie. But if Arrieta goes six innings, but he already hits 100 pitches, you know, what are they going to do? Are you going to keep him in and let him just keep going?
That's the problem. So it's such an interesting conversation because you need the win or you don't get. You're going to make it through this.
I'm going to eat more of this.
I know you are because you're a madman. I love this.
A mad Mexican man.
Arrieta, I'm sorry. We were talking about pitch count in general, but the point I wanted to make at least was that you have to get the win. You might have to get that pitch count up to 120 for Arrieta, but there is a point where you cannot cost yourself a lot of the reason the Cubbies can get any kind of wins in the National League Division Series if they are to make it to that point. Because, again, Pirates can rely on their bullpen. I don't think the Cubbies can. Their offense has been pretty lights out in the second half, though. I mean, their OPS is 754, some numbers for you, which is a 60-point jump from the first half. Chris Bryant is a bona fide star. We can't talk about the Cubs without talking about Chris Bryant. He has the longest home run of the year in the MLB, which is a meaningless...
How long was that?
497 feet, which is...
No one hit 500 this year?
Nobody hit 500 this year, but that's
the fucking Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire era spoiled me.
They did, because they were like, oh, 509.
532.
527.
515.
I mean, Griffey, whether on steroids or not, off the warehouse at Camden Yards in the Home Run Derby was like 530. What? What do you mean 530? That's silly. So Chris Bryant's a bona fide star. Javier Baez is off their bench, who's another decent infielder. I mean, young, very young, but a good infielder. Anthony Rizzo, who has, I think, the ugliest batting stance in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
somehow.
Certainly up for contention.
Anthony Rizzo will be, hands down, the greatest charity softball player of all time.
With that swing?
No doubt.
With that swing? Oh, baby.
He's going to bat 870 in charity softball. 100 pitches. He's going to see 100 at-bats, and he's going to hit 87 of them for home runs in charity softball. That's what I see. That's what I observe. I look at Andy Rizzo. I mean, look, he's a power hitter. He's good. And he's a strong first baseman. I like him at first base. He makes those reaches. What I find interesting is when, you know, Starlin Castro, who most people, unfortunately, get the fantasy bias and say, well, screw Starlin Castro. He didn't do what he was supposed to at shortstop for my fantasy team, or forgetting to realize that over the last 6 weeks of baseball, he's been performing at an elite shortstop level, both
Absolutely.
Offensively and defensively, and Rizzo can make the stretch. So, again, the shortstop, it's where your infield defense is being run literally from. So, oh God, there's so much. I'm twice as excited for the Pirates Cubs game as I was for the Astros Yankees.
Absolutely, there's so much more in play, and there's so much more to look at. But look, let's take a look at the Cardinals, because either way,
they're losing.
One of these two teams, yeah, likely in a series, especially considering your best pitchers, your aces are going to go out in this. And you have to take them out of consideration. We're pitching two games in the series against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Do either one of them have enough to win against the Cardinals? Because I wish
I wish I say no also, but I wish it was a 7-game series, because I think the Cubs or the Pirates could pull a 4-game win out of a 7-game series. I don't think they can pull 3 out of 5. So the Cardinals are an interesting team, and they mock the Giants of 2014 so well. Almost nobody on this team has 90 RBIs. I mean, this is the anti-Blue Jays. They won the most games in baseball.
Wait, hold on. Fuck the Cardinals.
Well, I know.
Just
I know.
As a record, you know, like, for the record.
It's funny because I love Tony La Russa. I thought he was such a transformative manager. But Mike Matheny, somebody who, by record, people automatically assume they must be managed by a good coach. Wrong. They have general management that is so beyond lights out. Their pitching staff is locked down through 2018. That's guys like Lance Lynn, Jamie Garcia, Michael Wacha. They made John Lackey, who every Boston sports fan will tell you, oh, we broke his back. Our bad. Yeah. We put the whole team on John Lackey to win a few games. And literally, not even speaking figuratively, his back broke. Like, he's not paralyzed. And then he goes to the Cardinals, and they're like, no, John, we'll have you throw 80 pitches, get you through 5 2/3 inning, you can throw it over the bullpen, you'll have like a 3-3 ERA.
Ta-da! Winning fucking...
How is that fair? Also, the AL is just mean. The AL East is mean to pitchers. But, recently, you can take advantage, 4 ERA in September, October for the Cards. People like Matt Carpenter is why I love baseball. I don't love the Cardinals, but I love Matt Carpenter.
He's somebody one of those guys. We don't need to talk about Carpenter. He's already slaughtered my Dodgers.
He's slaughtered Dodger every killer. Team in the league. He's a Chris Paul, if we're going to make an NBA reference, in terms of high sports IQ, a high baseball IQ. Matt Carpenter might be the highest baseball IQ of hitters in baseball. And that's not saying... Like, oh, why hasn't he hit 65 home runs? Because high baseball IQ, it takes into account the fact of running the bases, stealing bases when you need to, playing defensively when you're supposed to, utilizing the shift, and, of course, hitting for average power when you need to, just doing your homework. Again, they have Jason Hayward, who at one point was supposed to be the best player that baseball's ever seen, then fell off the face of the earth.
I mean, he was basically
Braves.
Like, I mean, it was the point. I'm trying to think. That would go really.
You remember when he came up?
Well, like, no, we're going to way off. I mean, I remember the same point. It's a similar terms. They're probably similar in age and whatnot. He was like John Bones Jones came out in the UFC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you had a point. Guy who would like, oh, shit, this guy is 6'3", 6'4", mm-hmm. super athlete, super talented. You don't get these kind of athletes in baseball. This guy could be playing professional sports and possibly
anywhere,
a couple
any
things.
Sport, any sport.
He could be a football player, he could be doing anything.
Mm.
Really. And this kind of talent just chose to play baseball and was the next big thing with the Braves.
Right.
Hey, let me look. He fell to a good spot.
Yes.
It's working out pretty well for him.
It's funny because the Hayward and Cespedes, and we'll get to more of Cespedes later on. Of course we will. As a Mets fan, I have to. But the Hayward and Cespedes comparisons are like they're identical. And don't forget, Hayward's is a lot younger than Cespedes because the Cuban import,
yeah, well,
he's 30 years
the
old.
There's a Cuban law. That's almost like Nigerian rules.
You know
what I mean? Like it's like add.
Cespedes will be 30.
Add 10.
He's been in the league for like
the
5
remainder.
Years. It'll be 30.
Right.
No.
So third power.
So what's the Nigerian exponential by 3?
Yeah, there's some kind of exponential. It's,
subtract.
It's complicated math. It's complicated math.
Okay, so subtract
because, no,
total
it's like,
home runs
no,
by RBI.
No, like a 35-year-old Nigerian soccer player was going to be on record on the books of the club as a 24-year-old. And there's really complicated math.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You've been following Leonard Fournette at LSU?
Oh, I have.
He looks like he's 47.
Well, you know, the hairline's already struggling. He's got right. that. He's got that burly neck, that like, big Abe Lincoln.
It's really hard to look at him and go, he's 19. it's really hard.
You're
to
You're a
grown-ass
man.
It's like, you're 27.
But here's the thing.
What
I mean,
are you
I don't
doing
know
at LSU?
Well, but like, we all mature at different ages. Look, LeBron had that size and those shoulders really fucking young, which is very – look, he's a freak athlete.
Yeah, there's no other way
Fournette's
to put it.
Fournette's a freak athlete. You know,
it's great.
You don't get that, like, you don't get that man strength to like 20 plus.
Right.
You know, where you fill into the shoulders and all that stuff. And you move into that sort of frame. Fournette's been amazing.
Right.
But
it's let's filthy.
Get, yeah. Well, let's get back to the baseball though.
So, yes, of course.
They I don't see either one of those teams taking out the Cardinals.
No.
Unfortunately. I really wish. I'll be rooting against them all day. Because I'd much rather face the Cubs or the Pirates than the Cardinals because
they
kind of had our number as a Dodger fan.
I would love to see the Cubs in the NLCS. I think it would be great for the game of baseball. I think the Pirates in the NLCS is also pretty good for the
either
game
one.
Of baseball. It's not the Cubs, but it's
like
good.
I said, ABC, anybody but the Cardinals.
Anybody but the Cardinals. But the Cardinals win this in, and I do believe this is a five-game series. Similar to how the Royals will have to go five games, and we're making very bold statements. But the Cardinals win in five, and in the most Cardinals way fashion because they'll be down 3-1. I'm sorry, they'll be right. down 2. They can't be down 3-1. They'll be down 2-1. And you'll be like, oh, just when there's hope.
I take it
off. Matt Holliday is going to hit a game-winning homer in game 4.
That motherfucker.
Like, fuck. And the second they win game 4, and this is bold. I know this is bold. You know, no chance game 5 for the Cubs or the Pirates. Doesn't matter who wins that game. It's the Cardinals all the way. It has happened
damn
so many
them.
Times. It
damn
is,
them to
It
hell.
Is a damn them. So far, to recap, we have an ALCS of the Royals and the Blue Jays, obviously. It's going to be like, oh, the Rangers, no, the Blue Jays. The Royals and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and we're in unison there.
We have an, yeah, absolutely. That. We have an NLCS regardless of the Cardinals versus where I know we are going to disagree. The case for your Dodgers, sir.
Well... Here's the long and the short of it. I mean, look, the offensive lineup for the Dodgers has been decent. There's been a lot of pieces that have floated in and out of it, but really what it's going to come down to is them being able to do well enough to produce a couple runs. Because that's all they need with the pitching they have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about our bullpen. But, I mean, yes. In the games when our pitchers are going to do really well, if they can go 7 or 8 and then get us to our setup, if they can give us 7... which is what I expect from a Grinke or a Kershaw,
mm-hmm.
be fine. Here's the big argument for me here. Clayton Kershaw is going to go down as a Hall of Fame pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the game,
mm-hmm.
but currently there's one big glaring
asterisk
mm-hmm. and big hole in his resume, and it matters more to him than anything else that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Anything anywhere. Absolutely. And that's what I said. Absolutely. Look, last season, even like, look, he didn't pitch that poorly against the Cardinals in the playoffs last season. It was that one pitch where he gave up that, you know, he had that game going and he fucked up and he threw one bad pitch and then he's out of the game and there's right. nothing you can do about it. He is too good and I don't think he's a bottler. And the thing is that, like, if he fucks up in the playoffs again this season,
it's so tough.
Like, yeah. he's going to be known, even though he's one of the greatest pitchers.
To ever play the game, he's one of the greatest pitchers.
If he can't at the very least get past the Mets, and I'm not saying the Cardinals, if he can't go out there and deliver 2 wins
yeah.
against
or
the
if,
Mets.
If maybe only needed one, technically.
Or one. Say one. If he can't deliver a fucking win against the Mets in this series, he's going to be serially known as a guy who chokes in the playoffs.
He's going to be known.
And he's
going to
deserve it.
Unfortunately, as the Peyton Manning of baseball. And that's such an unfair
and
reference.
And nobody wants to be that.
Nobody wants to be the Peyton Manning. Because Peyton Manning is really... Only Rex Grossman has ever lost to Peyton Manning.
But thank God... thank God for Peyton Manning that he's actually 1-1.
Right. So...
Which Clayton's not there yet. So... If it happens again, once you win one, you kind of get... You get the mulligan. You get the free pass. Because look, as much as Peyton is that guy, he's got a title. And once you got a ring,
there's so much riding... on Kershaw and Greinke because, well, there's a few different things with the Dodgers. One, there's the Don Mattingly situation. It's not like a different manager is a better replace. It's like Ned Yost is taken. Mike Matheny's technically taken. Joe Maddon's taken. Joe Girardi's taken.
Adam.
Like, Don Mattingly at the replacement level, it's not like you get rid of Don Mattingly and all of a sudden a better manager comes in, you're only getting a replacement level manager.
Joe Maddon was free during the summer. Not the summer. I always say summer.
He was following Theo Epstein to the Cubs regardless.
Right.
But he stated that he knew it. He was very transparent about it, and it was too good of an offer. It just also shows how good of a manager Joe Maddon is that he took that we don't need to look at the Cubs' 2015 season.
Sure.
That's all you need. Specifically look at his bullpen situations and when he would bring in certain pitchers there exactly as to why Joe Maddon's so smart. Did it with the Rays, hence why he went on a great September comeback to overtake the Yankees in the AL East years ago. My issue with the Dodgers comes to their lineup when Justin Turner and Andre Ethier are your 4 and 5 guys up against a Mets rotation with DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Harvey back-to-back-to-back who all throw 97-plus for 7 straight innings.
Sure.
That's hard to hit. It comes down to Adrian Gonzalez, who's been nothing but consistent. He should be everybody's favorite Dodger. He should be everybody's fundamental player to look up to in baseball. His swing is beautiful. His fielding is beautiful. Everything about Adrian Gonzalez is what a baseball player should be, and he's been nothing but consistent.
And I've been saying forever. I've been saying, look, exactly. Since his days in San Diego, mm-hmm. we all knew. Everybody here in Los Angeles, you know, I played baseball with a bunch of Mexicans mm-hmm. here in the San Gabriel Valley in L.A. You know, they were all big fans of Gonzalez. We've all been waiting for the day because here's the thing. In L.A., What could be the best possible marketable baseball player? Really? I mean, let's get a big fucking Mexican who's a cosmic professional and is a great fucking role model.
Constantly
and mashes fucking home runs, and he'll wear cowboy boots and a fucking hat for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He'll do ads.
He'll have Latino Day.
He'll do promotions.
Everything.
He's everything you want.
He's the perfect guy. He's the perfect fucking player in that sense. Mm-hmm. And he's been immense. And he, for me, has been the guy who, like, you know, he had his huge, you know, he was on like MVP pace type numbers in the opening month or mm-hmm. two of the season. Looked really good. You know, it tailed off a bit, but like you said, consistency. He continues to deliver.
Always.
He goes through his slumps as every baseball player does. But
you know when he gets out of his slumps? The playoffs. Look at his Red Sox numbers in the playoffs. I mean, there's nobody who can hate. Adrian Gonzalez could have played for 15 teams in baseball. He can play for the Dodgers this year, right? And let's say he does heroic things, like sure. an amazing post, like 400 average, I don't know, to 10 home runs in the post. It's record numbers, right? He can go to the Giants next year and beat the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium, and you'd be standing on your feet cheering for him because that's the type of player that Adrian Gonzalez is.
That'd be a big test.
It would be a big test, but again, if the reason you win a World Series is off his bat, it doesn't matter where he goes. Goes to the Giants and he beats you every day for the rest of your lives.
He's classy.
That's who he is.
He is the guy you want as the face of your fucking organization.
You do have Kenley Jansen in the bullpen, who's a cutter specialist, and he's filthy. I'll give you that. You also have Greinke going in game two. So if the Mets get to Kershaw, they're not going to get to both of these guys on back-to-back nights in Dodger Stadium. Your absolute worst is a 1-1 split. Absolute worst is a 1-1 split. I can't try to make a thoughtful argument that Cespedes, who's been the most valuable player in baseball, according to me as a biased Mets fan, since being picked up, just because, I mean, come on now, 20 home runs, 56 RBIs, an OPS that I don't even think is actually logistically possible on this team. And of course, 3 fireballing starters back to back to back. This is the whole reason the Mets put this rotation together. And you have your lefty Mats going in game 4 unless they need to use the immortal Bartolo Colon.
Oh.
42 years old.
The relic.
Somebody I hated for so long comes to the Mets. Still don't like him. And a lot of people get mad at me for not liking him. But he's 42. His fastball is 88 miles an hour. Matt Harvey says his fastball is heavy. No. When someone says you have a fastball, you want it to be fast, not heavy. And I understand why. Actually, Mark Burley is the same type of fastball. That's why he's been able to pitch for, I don't know, 35 years, 20 right. years exactly. But
it feels like forever.
It does feel like it. I mean, really does.
We thought he was old when he won the World Series. Was it 05 or 06? Whatever the fuck it was. 05 White Sox. You thought he was old then.
John Garland, Mark Burley.
Still in the fucking league?
Paul Konerko. That White Sox team was pretty good.
Remember Konerko was the minor league player of the year for the Dodgers at AAA?
He fucking shipped
him on because we still had fucking Karros.
That's true. You know what's so funny when you look back? I wrote down, because I had like just for the quick memory jog, the last 10 World Series winners going in reverse order. It's like Giants 2014, makes sense. Red Sox 2013, makes sense. Giants in 2012, makes sense. The Cardinals, who have been there a million and a half times, 2011, makes sense. Giants again every other year. The Yankees, you can never be surprised. The Phillies, when Roy Halladay threw a fucking no-hitter in the playoffs. Come on. And you still had Cole Hamels. And you had Hamels, you had Halladay, and I'm missing one. Cliff Lee.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Just Cliff
only
Lee.
Cliff Lee.
But you know, it's funny how he's fallen off, right? It's,
he did. He did. He had a peak and then he fell off, but he did what he needed to get his ring. Red Sox in 07, of course, that was their second. The Cardinals in 06, and then the weird anomaly, the John Garland, Mark Burley, Paul Konerko. Like, I mean, I don't think Frank Thomas was part of this team in 2005. Like, the White Sox. Is there any team, to make it quick, I have the Mets winning in 5 because I love the Mets. You have the Dodgers winning in 4 because you're a Dodger fan. And that makes total sense, and both of these are such likely scenarios. I think we can agree on that. Is there any White Sox team? Can the Astros win the World Series? Can the Blue Jays win the World Series? Like,
yes.
Like, yeah, yes. But it's like one of those, when you look at the list of the last 10 years, is it going to be a weird one? Is the Blue Jays going to be good for one? Like, this is the year that they win a World Series and then
I mean, it's not for 20? It's not going to be good for baseball in the sense that, like, you know, ratings.
Good for
baseball. No one. You know what I mean?
Like
we were talking earlier while this match, the fucking soccer shit gets to me, you know? We're watching this Yankees game.
Right.
You're talking about ESPN, MLB. We're all praying for the Yankees to win because of the ratings and whatnot. What's going to do for them monetarily? Look, Toronto versus the Astros in a series is not really doesn't really bode well. It's not like.
No, I mean, last year the ratings, they were not happy that the fact that it was the Royals and the Giants. That's not
fuck
like,
no.
Like they're praying. I promise they are praying for Dodgers and Cardinals in the NLCS, which I know you would love. And they're really hoping for. I mean, out of the AL, geez, where's my list? I mean, there's really not one. There's not one team, not one in the American League that any TV station is excited to be airing. They are praying the Dodgers make the World Series. It gives them incentive for people to watch. It's the biggest market left. And I'm going to be honest. As a Mets fan, if they can't get past the NLDS, first I'll cry, then punch a hole in the wall, probably break my TV, and then I'll be excited to root for the Dodgers moving forward because at that point, I ain't rooting for the Cardinals.
Fuck no.
I ain't rooting for the American League.
And guess what?
And bullshit.
You're here in L.A.
I have no choice.
So, worst things.
Do I think the Mets can win the NLDS? Absolutely. Do I think the Mets can beat the Cardinals? No.
Probably not.
Do you know what the worst part about it is, though?
What is it?
2006 when the Mets won the NLCS against the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright wasn't a starting pitcher. He struck out Carlos Beltran as the closer for the Cardinals in Game 7 at Shea Stadium.
I remember.
Now Wainwright won't be starting for the Cardinals as he's coming off his injury, so he's going to be in the bullpen again.
Dear Lord.
So if you don't think that image in my head is like, oh, at Citi Field, game 5, Wainwright out of the bullpen, this time it's Lucas Duda striking out. Like, that image, like, the fact that the second I read, Wainwright's going to be pitching out of the bullpen, that's not good for anybody.
Like, no one facing them, that's for damn sure. That's for damn sure.
That's a guy who can come in the 7th and finish the game without you touching anything. Oh, shit, you got to our starter? Okay, we're going to throw Wainwright, who's only 1-2.
So let's talk about the big variable here, because I think that the Dodgers are going to have enough to get past the Mets.
Mm.
Okay? I think we both agree we don't think the Mets can beat the Cardinals.
I don't think
I think the Dodgers can beat the Cardinals, and it's going to be based on pitching. It's not,
you know,
it's not
what's interesting, like, and what's so interesting about that is we'll know after game 1 of the NLDS. If Kershaw throws 7 innings of of 2 earned runs and 10 strikeout baseball, guess what? The Dodgers are going to make a run. Cuz Greinke is going to throw you 7 innings of
1 run.
You know, 1 run, 3 strikeouts, yeah, bunch of ground balls,
look,
double play
ERA
balls.
And WHIP leader.
Yeah.
Greinke, Cy Young favorite.
What I'm expecting is Brett Anderson and Alex Wood to get lit up like they're kind of supposed to, in a way. Right. I mean,
like I said, I see a game 3 win. I see Harvey beating whoever the fuck we throw in game 3.
So their ceiling, like Anderson Wood's ceiling, would be like keep them in the game, keep it close, keep it within one swing of the bat, keep it within 4 runs. And if that's the case, and they can even do the job or pitch better than that, which is not out of the question. We've seen weirder things happen in baseball. Brett Anderson and Alex Wood throw anything relatively close to decent baseball. The Dodgers are in a really good situation. But if Kershaw comes out and gets shelled by the Mets, and then Greinke comes out and doesn't look like the Cy Young award-winning Greinke that he should be, that's your hint for who should win the Cy Young, the Mets will take the series. it's so much on both these teams pitching. The one thing you have is Kershaw's pitching the postseason before. Greinke's pitching the postseason before. Bredesen's pitching the postseason before. Do you know who's never pitching the postseason? DeGrom, Syndergaard, Harvey, and Mats, and they're lined up to go game 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Damn right. Well, look, and that's the big thing. The big thing here is that, and I think you can agree with me in this sense, is that like you have a player, you have pitchers in Greinke and Kershaw that are so good, such good veteran pitchers that have this kind of talent and the ability to do so well. You know, we don't think it's an anomaly.
No.
It's not an anomaly.
No.
So he's going to come good. He's going to pitch well in one of these games. And like you said, we saw it. All it took was one really good pitcher, really. I mean, yeah, it took a few of the performances, but it was one good pitcher that carried them. And if between the two of them, if they can get three wins out of
It mocks the 2001 Diamondbacks precisely.
Yeah.
They threw Johnson. They threw Schilling.
Yep.
You had no chance.
Nope. Guaranteed.
And
that was a
Yankee team going for four straight World Series, a Yankee in their prime, probably, if not the greatest hitting team in a World Series. Go through it if you want. But in general, Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter in his prime and Jorge Posada. I mean, it's ridiculous. And Schilling, of course, he did it twice as a Red Sox 3 years later. But Randy Johnson, they weren't touching him, and that is exactly what Kershaw and Greinke could mock, and they could go far. So because we've seen it before, that's why I won't be surprised if I see it again. I'm rooting for Kershaw to do well. I wouldn't mind Kershaw throwing a 19 strikeout no hitter against the Mets in Game 1 if the Mets could win Games 2, 3, and 4. I think that makes, you know,
for some people,
it's
a fair trade.
It's a great trade.
Yeah. But, you know, but here's the thing. Like I said, the big thing for him is he's going to go down if they lose this series to the Mets, in which Kershaw would definitely throw two games. He's going to wear all the blame because
what if Kershaw throws two games of, you know, one run baseball and they lose 1-0?
Well,
then you can't say he didn't pitch great.
Then it's a little harsh, but then
you get the unfair bias. You get the unfair media saying, it's Kershaw's fault because he gave up a run.
But I mean, that's the problem with this. And like, look, if he gave up a run, that sucks. And, you know, it's going to come down to it. Look, hindsight's always 20/20. We're going to look at this and people are going to say a certain thing or another. I mean, look, the thing is, you had last season where Kershaw got spotted with a 5-run lead in that second game or whatever it was.
Mm.
He got spotted lead and he fucking blew it. That one's entirely on him. So if anything like that happens again, you can't pass that off anywhere else. So he's going to have to wear it. But look, he is a great pitcher. He's going to handle business here in the playoffs. And he's the reason why I think he'll get to NLCS. I don't know if they're going to get much farther. You know, we're going to get to our picks here and that in a second. But this Dodger team has the pop in the lineup. You got guys, Puig is coming back. You know, he just got back in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's the most important guy, but even if he's just a bench guy, it's a great guy to have on the bench.
Yeah, no,
you got to rotate in.
That could be your difference maker. And
these guys. You got guys like Seager who've come up and done a great job. You got Rollins. You got a guy like Justin Turner, my spirit animal on the team. And he wears my number. He wears number 10. He's my age. He's from L.A.
Jock Peterson, who hasn't done anything since the middle of May, but
he
decides to be somebody who steps up,
strikeout or home run. Hit a couple of those important home runs in the playoffs.
Sure. One for four of the home runs makes a huge... funny because over the course of a season, nobody wants a guy that goes 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and a home run.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Do you know what a playoff
Adam
team...
Adam Dunn has played like 15 years in the season. Don't you know this?
I was going to say, that's the funny thing. Adam Dunn struck out more times by his third year in baseball than Tony Gwynn struck out in the history of his career.
Which is like, 16 years?
18-year career for Tony Gwynn. He struck out as few as 18 times in a season once, which is what?
Yeah. Well, look, but here's the thing. Adam Dunn would hit .225 for you, but hit 40 home runs with 100 RBIs.
It's going to be
good enough to pay him double-digit millions.
It's going to be a really, really interesting debate when it comes down to the fact that Adam Dunn's going to finish with 560 home runs, and they're going to not allow him in the Hall of Fame because he's got the most strikeouts. He's going to beat Reggie Jackson by 1,000. 1,000 strikeouts. It's amazing. So Kershaw, Greinke going to be – look, our fandom lies in it, so it's the most interesting series to us.
Yes. But it's great. It might not be the Yankees versus the Dodgers, which the MLB and a lot of neutrals want. But you do get it. You get the Mets. You get the Dodgers.
You get New York.
You get a Black Coastal Series. You get everything. Yeah. We should go to New York and go watch the goddamn Citi Field.
I've already decided that if the Mets do make the World Series, I'll be taking off the 2 weeks. The 2 weeks. I actually will be, and I'll be flying back for the Mets in the World Series. I've never seen the Mets. I was at game 2 and 4.
Well, let's not get carried away. If you guys make it to NLCS, you should probably go back because you guys are making a World Series like we already established.
Yeah, so. That's probably true. In terms of predictions for it all, do you – for me – and this is bold. I think the Royals are back in the World Series, but I unfortunately think they lose to the Cardinals. And that's such a boring
prediction. Well, first off, give me your prediction for the Dodgers-Mets series, because you've said.
I have to.
I have the Dodgers in 4.
That's a totally fair prediction. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to get upset about it.
Yeah.
Mets in 5. That's all I – that's – come on.
Yeah,
what kind of person would I be if I was like Dodgers in 3?
Well, I mean, you'd be like a lot of other Mets fans that are just realistic to the fact of what the Mets in the playoffs have been over the past decade.
Oh,
or
last
forever.
Time we were in the playoffs, we were in the NLCS, and it was rough. So there was no one game playoff though. So you only had
true,
games.
True, and it didn't happen. I think the Dodgers are going to do it. I mean, really, if I have to go with my heart next, we're going to get to these other predictions, right? So now we go to the NLCS. Now we have our picks for the divisional series all picked out.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got the Cards versus the Dodgers. And I think I'm picking the Dodgers to get past the Mets. And we're going to get that on these victories. You're going to have Grinke starting. Game one or game two of the second series against...
If you're the Dodgers, if you're Mattingly, and Kershaw gets rocked again... And Greinke pitches lights out, and it's game 5. Who do you pitch?
Well, it's based on rest, really. You stick with Kershaw.
You give him another shot.
Maybe give him
3 innings. If it gets rough, you put in Greinke. Pulling that Bumgarner-esque tactic.
I don't think so. I don't think so right away, because even with all that, you want Greinke to be able to pitch game 1 the next one. I mean, I know it doesn't matter if you don't make it there, but... Kershaw's not the kind of guy who, A, gets yanked in the third unless he's getting rocked.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going to be a short leash, you know? It's just one of those things. So I see it going that way. And the Dodgers put it together and you have it where, best case scenario, it's a sweep. And then you can go right back to, you can do a 3-man rotation, take a day off, and come back to Greinke, you know, Kershaw, Greinke, whatever, in the second
series.
Yeah,
that is, for any team, the best case scenario is a sweep, and for the other series to go 5. It gives you rest. People think like, oh, momentum.
But even if not, say it goes 5 and Kershaw wins, you can start with Greinke. You know, Greinke gets 2 starts in the next series for sure. You know, you have Kershaw ready to go.
In a 7-game series, Kershaw and Greinke get 4 games.
Right, exactly. So it works in that sense. So you can make that happen, and that's completely reasonable.
If Brett Anderson and Alex Wood get a win, it's not a miracle. It's just like miracles. Such a
it's about the offense showing up. I mean, they're gonna have to do more. It's not gonna be the same.
I'm scared of Puig stepping up in the spot. Like,
a lot of guys have been clutch. I mean, look how great Corey Seager's been since he's come up. He's our top prospect, but I don't even want to see Jimmy Rollins back next season, really.
No, but you want to see Jimmy Rollins pinch hitting when you need him.
You do, just like we have Chase Utley on the bench. What the fuck are we doing with those Phillies players?
Phillies players, man.
I don't get it. This isn't 2008, not 2010. I don't get it.
And coming out of
when it comes to who has
left
to be on the
field,
bench,
Jason Worth. What?
Hey, he was ours before he was the Nationals.
What?
He's
a Philly prospect. It's like,
no, he was with the Dodgers.
He was a Dodger farm system prospect. You're right.
He's a Dodger prospect. He played with us until he broke his fucking wrist during that season, dropped in the pecking order.
Don't worry, he signed way too much money for the Nationals, and hence the name Jason.
And look how that went.
Worthless.
Jason Worthless.
As he should be.
It could be worse. We may have Donnie Baseball, but we don't have Matt Williams.
That's a very good point.
Which is pretty ridiculous because Matt Williams is one of the best baseball players from my childhood. I mean, he was Mr. Fundamental, but it seems like he's so set in his ways that, you know, he's just...
There's a problem in that's evident in baseball, and that becomes when you look from the managerial perspective. People come into a baseball managerial ship, and they have their way of running things. And their way of running things works for about a year to a year and a half. Almost always when you're competent, like Matt Williams, that will get you an NL Manager of the Year award.
Sure.
When things start to go wrong, instead of adjusting in the 5th or 6th inning, instead of adjusting your bullpen situation, your shifts, how you play defensively, how you mess with your lineup, how to adjust to where the game...
He's a fucking retard.
Yes. He didn't adjust. He said to himself, obviously, this is my strategy. It's worked before. It's going to work now. But everything was right underneath him, right under his nose. It wasn't going to. The only credit I have to give is it wasn't like, and this is not the biased Mets statement, this is actually the objective Mets statement, is the Mets scored the most runs in the National League since they got Cespedes. They also have a rotation that came into the league as being considered one of the top five in baseball. It wasn't like they lost, and they had the easiest schedule out of anybody in the MLB. So it was a combination of terrible managerialship in combination with the Mets having the easiest schedule and taking advantage of it. So if the Mets had to play teams like, you know, more of the Yankees, more interleague play, more of the Nationals, more of the Cardinals, Nationals probably would have held on. Or at probably. Least it would have been a series the last few games against the Mets.
Yeah, most likely.
But Matt Williams, you'll find a job. I don't know with who. And you'll turn him around for a year, and you'll be fired in 2017.
Yeah, so someone will be desperate, and they'll pick him up.
You'll have a great 2016.
So let's give me your prediction. So you have the Cardinals facing the
Royals. I know, super exciting.
No, before that, I'm talking about NLCS.
Oh, I have the Cardinals and the Mets.
Right. So you have the Cardinals. You already hinted to it, apparently. You have the Cardinals handling the Mets,
and the handling the Mets in six games. I'm not going to even try to. No, emotionally
we don't need to break that down. We can get there. If we get there, we can get there in due time.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got the Cardinals progressing to the World Series. Who's your pick on the AL side? Who's going to win?
Royals over the Blue Jays in seven games.
Wow.
That has to go seven games. I would love it to go seven games. I love Yordano Ventura. I think he's an instigator. Like he's like a Dennis Rodman from the Bulls. Like he's going to annoy you. He might throw at you.
Hey, I like that.
Right. He's old school baseball. Nobody appreciates it. The media pushes him down for being what they call an asshole and immature. When in reality, if this was if this was 1995, he would have been welcomed open arms to the Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz Braves easily.
I fit right in.
Again, the Royals, to me, it all comes down to the fact they don't strike out. They always put the ball in play. I think that's impossible to handle for any team in a five- or seven-game series.
All right, so you're giving me the Royals versus the Cardinals in the World Series. I'm gonna go slightly different than you. I'm going to go with the I too have the Royals versus the Blue Jays. I've got the Jays. Beating the Royals for
like
all the shit we explained earlier.
Do. I wish I could disagree, but I like that a lot too.
So I have that, and that's what I see going on. I see the Dodgers progressing past the Cardinals.
So you're a good,
fan. Making it to the World Series. It's not about being a good fan. But I think when you get down to it, it comes down to managerial decisions, and then the smallest margin is going to make the big difference.
You're right.
And whether that's true. And actually, whether it's the Royals or the Blue Jays, I actually think either one of them is going to have the advantage against the Dodgers because of the managerial situation. Mm. I'm picking in the World Series myself. I'm going to take the Toronto Blue Jays over the Dodgers.
They're just going to in just six mash games so many runs. Nobody's going to be able
in
to
six really. Games. I mean, they're going to be able to light up our guys in two out of their three matchups early, and they might not get to, if it doesn't get to a game seven.
You know what's like?
So
it's
be
like,
it.
I try to play the movie in my head, and there's such a plausible situation which I can see being. Every single Blue Jays playoff game, them just sweeping everything.
Just 10 runs
like
every game.
8 to 10. Yeah. Like, up, and Encarnacion, up, 2-run homer. Oh, Donaldson puts it in play. It's a double. Oh Batista, 2-run home run.
Slam. Damn.
Oh, God. Oh, Tulo's a triple. And a sack fly, and it's 5-0 in the first inning. Like, I can just see that happening, which wouldn't be that much fun. It wouldn't be too much tensity, but you'd be like, well, people pay to see home runs.
So
people pay to see the ball hit. So you have the Blue Jays and the Dodgers.
Yeah,
and the Blue Jays winning.
I'm taking the Blue Jays to win. Unfortunately,
in Toronto,
that's not what I will be rooting for. But
Joe
yes.
Carter style.
Oh God!
Walk off homer in game seven.
I don't want to think about that. Let's get into the details because look, for the record, I will be rooting against this the whole time because I do think the Dodgers are capable of winning. But it's one of those things. If you put the gun to my head and you're like, "Who are you going to bet on when it comes to that World Series?" I'm gonna be like, "Well." I want to say the Dodgers. But look, but here's the thing. If the Dodgers do what we hope for them to do, the collective Los Angeles we.
The collective, yes.
The collective Los Angeles we, where our dynamic duo finally pay off and do the dominance that we expect? If they've done that and they've won those games to take them to the World Series, then fucking all bets are off.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because you expect them on that roll to continue. But like I said, for the record, I'm gonna go with the Blue Jays to win one for Canada.
Let's say we're spot on for the divisional series.
Sure.
Minus the Mets Dodgers, because we're pretty much in agreement for everything else. And the Cubs and the Pirates, but when it gets to the CSs of them, we'll know so much more that we could easily be sitting here going like, no, I'm going to switch my pick. Like, easily.
Well, that's why we might come back in a week or two once the next series get done. We might have to do that. Fantastic. We might have an encore.
We might have. It would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd bring pepperoni chips with me. Like, there's no doubt.
That is mine. That is mandatory. And I'll bring jalapeno. I'll make you eat them and cry.
I think I can do like one per 8 minutes. There's not a chance. It's my first pint cast. That's like a third. That's a second. Oh, look at you eating the stem too. Isn't that where all the hotness is?
No, it's in the seeds.
If he passes out, it's not on me. I swear to God.
I thought I had beer.
It's WNBA basketball? That is WNBA basketball.
I thought they just had their playoffs.
I think there's a series. Who do you have in the Minnesota Lynx versus the... I don't know any other team. Los Angeles Sparks?
Nobody cares.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. But yeah. The beauty of baseball.
I'm sorry someone mentioned
WNBA. Do you want to hear my World Series prediction from April 1st, 2015?
Let's hear it.
Quote. As best I can, paraphrase quote of myself. The Seattle Mariners will finally turn around their season with Iwakuma and Felix Hernandez leading the charge. Robinson Cano will bat .320, be an MVP candidate. Nelson Cruz will mash 40 home runs. That's the only one I got right. And the Mariners will be a force to be reckoned with. No.
What an idiot.
No.
I'm sorry. I
thought they finally were going to turn it around. I really did. Because on paper and like that's another managerial thing, but jeez,
I think I picked them for fourth in the division.
That's a good division.
Is that where they finished?
Like fifth. Mm-mm. What do you call it? The Oakland A's are pretty bad.
That one surprised me because I thought the A's were going to come back and still be strong after their solid season last season.
And Billy Beane's a smart guy. The A's will be always a regular season contender to make the playoffs when they're good and to lose in the divisional series or the championship series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy Bean's a smart guy. Like, I mean, but he's been figured out, and analytics have caught up to Billy Beane. Billy Beane was ahead of analytics. Now they've caught up to him.
So, your World Series prediction?
Oh, the Royal. I have the Royals and the Cardinals. I have to stick with the Royals for the same reason I've been sticking with the Royals. The Royals in seven games. It's Ned Yost. I take it for a few reasons. Defensive run saves, Ned Yost, strikeout percentage. It all 110% comes down to Johnny Cueto. If he is good, average, above average, any of those words.
For his standards.
For his standards.
Sure.
They will be fine. Because that takes the relief. The amazing amount of relief off Volquez. By the way, Chris Medlin's their fourth guy. Right? their fourth guy's Chris Medlin. Chris Medlin has like a 3.1 ERA and lost 17 games. That is an anomaly. You don't allow three runs a game throughout an entire season and lose 17 games. That is the opposite of Andy Pettitte. Andy Pettitte is a notorious 4.0 ERA guy who won 220 MLB baseball games.
He averaged probably like a 15-10 record in that time.
For whatever reason, the Yankees, every time Pettitte was on the mound, he'd give up four runs, they'd score five. Give up seven runs, they'd score eight.
Really charismatic. The guys in the clubhouse must have loved
it. They loved hitting for Pettitte. It's a random, arbitrary way to look at baseball, but that is some of the beauty of baseball. It is random. It is arbitrary. It's unfair. Love the playoffs for that reason. The Yankees losing 3-0 to the Astros wasn't that arbitrary or random, though.
No.
It's pretty actually legitimate.
Look, we have our predictions. I've gone with the Blue Jays.
I'm with the Royals. We're with the American League. What kind of people are we?
A terrible
DH fans. Loving bullshit.
Oh, come on. It's bullshit. Hey, it really is bullshit.
Yeah.
These are some great predictions. It was great having you on, Jason.
Thank you so much.
On Twitter at JasonRubin91. Mm-hmm. You can also check out all his videos and all his good stuff at TYT Sports.
Thank you.
Check it out. Check that out at TYT Sports on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the page on YouTube. Check the videos. Get there for good baseball, football, all your sports coverage.
We try to talk about everything. It's impossible, but we do.
Yeah, but you try. I mean, there's so much out there to cover. Yeah. So We do what we can. Check them out there. Check it out. We'll be back. I think we'll probably do something else again.
Love
come
to.
Championship
Absolutely
series.
Love to, yeah.
Before or after. I haven't decided. Maybe both. Do both. Maybe both. Who knows? We'll see
how
it goes.
I'm not
going to
say
says.
No.
Exactly. So we'll make it happen. It's been a pleasure, Jason, as always. And we'll talk to you guys soon. And we will be back with another podcast talking more playoff baseball come after the divisional series. Talk to you.
Got to be soon, 'cause I know.